14 and verse 8, "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen." Our title today is from verse 15 of our text. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." So today I preach to you, when God says, go forward. When God says, go forward. Thank you, Jesus, for your wonderful word. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here in your presence and feeling your touch. And God, I thank you for what you want to speak to our lives and how you want to move upon us. We pray that your will be done in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word and for the promises that you've given this church. And we stand upon those promises, Lord, and we hear your voice today as we move forward in faith in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. What a dilemma we see here facing the children of Israel. They were escaping from Egypt, coming out of 400 years of bondage, because there arose a Pharaoh in Egypt which knew not Joseph. And because of his fear of God's people, who were growing in number and in strength and in the blessings of God, he made the people of God slaves in their kingdom. But God said, that's enough. He said, it's time to let my people go. How many of you are thankful for the delivering power of Jesus Christ? And so, escaping from Egypt, they had come into a valley that led to the Red Sea. The mountains there of Pihahiroth were on one side of them, and the mountains of Migdol on the other. When the Egyptians heard of the direction that they took, they said to themselves, well, they're entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. It seemed that they were caught in a trap from which there was no escape. Oh, but I wonder today, has anybody ever been caught in a trap? And the enemy of your soul thought that he had you. Oh, there was no way of escape, and it seemed like you were finished, that you were defeated, but all along, God knew right where you were. God knew exactly where you were, and in his timing and in his plan, he brought you out. And what seemed like a trap for you, it turned out to be a trap for the enemy. And God turned it. Amen. I said God turned it, and God gave you victory, and he defeated your enemy. He caused him to fall into his own trap. He took what the enemy meant for evil, and he turned it for good. Come on, somebody give God praise today. Come on, somebody be thankful that God's in control of things. It doesn't matter what was meant for your destruction. I tell you what matters is what God has in store for you. The Egyptians meant to bring them back as slaves into bondage once again. And Pharaoh came with his chariots and with his armies, and they trapped them into the pass. And when the people saw the army behind them cutting off their escape, they started complaining. They started bellyaching. And Moses, why have you brought us out here into this wilderness? Were there no graves in Egypt? Didn't we just tell you, leave us alone there in Egypt? Just let us be slaves and serve the Egyptians. Oh, we'd rather be slaves back in Egypt than to die here in the wilderness. How bondage will cloud your thinking. They were walking out of Egypt, walking towards the promises of God, but they were still thinking like slaves. They forgot that they were following God's direction. He had directed Moses to lead them into this valley. If it was a trap, it was one of God's design. And they turned their anger against Moses, but they should have seen that they were following God's will for their lives. God had given them the cloud by day. He had given them the pillar of fire by night. Their safety was assured. The whole problem that they were facing had been created by God. It was not meant for their end, but it was actually to be their beginning. It was a victory that was going to go before them, even to Jericho. And in that city, they would hear about God's deliverance way back at the Red Sea. And fear would strike the hearts of their enemy, because it was plain to all that their God, this God of the Israelites, was the one true God of heaven. Next, we see Moses doing his best to lead them in this time of crisis, doing his best to get their attention back on God. But it is here that I believe our text shows us what could have been a mistake of Moses. Throughout the writings of Moses, we do see mistakes which he made. It takes a big man to admit that. Not only to confess it, but to record it for all of history to see. But aren't you thankful it helps the rest of us that aren't perfect? The record is there. Of course, Moses made a mistake when, in defense of a Hebrew brother, he killed an Egyptian. And he had to be exiled for 40 years. And he made a mistake when he argued with God about whether or not he was able to lead God's people out of bondage. He made a mistake when, in anger, he threw down the tables of stone and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He made a mistake when, instead of speaking to the rock as God commanded, he smote it. It takes a big man to admit his mistakes, but every one of us make them. Could it be today that our text records a mistake that is not normally considered? When Moses is standing before the Red Sea, the mountains of Pihahiroth on the one side and the mountains of Migdol on the other, and the chariots and the armies of Pharaoh cutting off their escape to the rear. And in this moment, Moses tells the people of Israel to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, maybe this is surprising to us here today, and perhaps it is that with time and with translation, what we read in English today isn't exactly as Moses communicated it. Of course, there's times when we should not worry, and there's times that we need to trust in the salvation of the Lord. And there are moments that we must not look with eyes of the flesh, but we've got to see with eyes of the Spirit. After all, we are to walk by faith. But in this moment, when Moses told the people to stand still, they were at a time and a place where their only salvation was predicated on their moving forward. And in every generation and in every one of our lives, there can be a tendency sometimes to stand still, whether it's in fear or in hesitation or even in unbelief, to stand still when the Lord is saying, move forward. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 15, we read, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Moses had just told them to stand still, but the Lord said, now it's time to go forward. One translation says it like this: why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Moses said, stand still, but God said, it's time to go forward. If the children of Israel were ever to taste of the milk and the honey of Canaan, they were going to have to keep putting one foot in front of the other all the way, every mile from Goshen to the other side of Jordan. That's the only way they were going to get there, by moving forward. That's not to take away from the supernatural power of God, but what God did for them was only what they could not do for themselves. I tell you, Moses had to climb up Mount Sinai with his own 2 feet. The people had to go out and gather the manna and the quail. They had to keep putting one foot in front of the other. The priest, they had to step into the Jordan River. And at that moment, when the soles of their feet rested in the waters of Jordan, the water was cut off and the rest could walk across on dry land. God had given them the victory, but they still had to march around Jericho. God will not do what we can do ourselves. And it's a mistake for us today to expect deliverance and miracles and the blessings of God if we're not doing something in the kingdom of God. God's not looking for people who are idle. He's looking for people that are saying, I'm going to fight this battle. I'm going to go forward in faith. I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to put my faith into action. Amen, amen. James 2 and 20 tells us, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Somebody needs to hear this today. God is going to give you victory, and God is going to bring you through. He's going to open up some doors, and I believe he's going to bring this church into a miraculous place of revival, but faith without works is dead. And God's not going to do what we can do. Oh, I tell you, he'll do all. If we'll do all we can, and we'll work, and we'll sacrifice, and we'll press forward, then when we've done everything that we can, God is going to step in, and he'll take care of the rest. But we've got to put our faith in action. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. He goes on, he says, there's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. And that continues on for another 4 verses. But I would submit to us here today another truth. Yes, to everything there is a season. And there's a time to pray and there's a time for action. There's a time to pray, and there's a time for action. Moses had come to the time for action. Notice what God said to him again, Exodus 14 and 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, why criest thou unto me? The time of praying is over. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Moses had come to the time for action. I want to tell you today, don't you ever neglect prayer. That should always be our first response in any situation. First of all, prayer. But there comes a time when we have prayed. There comes a time when we fasted and we've sought the face of God. And then God says, okay, now it's time for action. It's time to go forward. It's time to press on. I've got something ahead for you. And you can't have that promise until you leave where you're at and you move forward in faith. You ever heard about the man who was praying for God to deliver him from the flood? The water kept getting higher and higher and higher. Finally got so high he had to get up on the roof, and his neighbor comes by on a kayak. This is the Ozarks version, okay? He says, come on, I'll take you to safety. And the man says, no, I'm praying for God to deliver me. A little while later, some rescuers come by in a pontoon boat, and they offer to help. Same response, no, thanks. I'm praying for God to help me. A helicopter flies over, and again he refuses to help. God says to the man, what's wrong with you? I sent you a kayak. I sent you a pontoon boat. I sent you a helicopter. You're on your own now. I tell you, there's a time for prayer. We should always make prayer a priority, but there's also a time for action. Moses, why are you crying unto me? Tell the people they need to get moving forward. Tell the people, I've got some promises ahead. And we're leaving Egypt. We're going forward. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, I've got to speak to somebody here today and tell you God's got some promises. God's got some miracles. God's got some open doors. But you're not going to get it just sitting there. You're not going to get it without pressing forward in faith. It's time for a boldness to arise. It's time for a boldness to get a hold of our hearts and say, I've had enough of what's happened in the past. I'm ready to go forward into victory. I'm ready to go forward and receive my blessing. In Acts chapter 12, Herod throws Peter into prison. But the church got together and prayed. And while Peter was sleeping, the angel of the Lord came in and he hits Peter on the side and says, come on, Peter, wake up. Get up and put your shoes on and get dressed. And why didn't God do all that for him? If God had the power to deliver him, why didn't he just put his shoes on for him? But Peter had to be a participator. And when he did that, the chains fell off of him. And as they go out, the gates open up. And Peter comes to the house where they're praying. And he stands there a-knocking. And Rhoda comes out to the gate. And she's so excited. She runs back to tell everybody, hey, Peter's here. Peter's out there. And they say, you're crazy. Peter's in prison. In fact, we're praying for him right now to get out. There's a time to pray, and there's a time to go forward. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, hey, neighbor. Hey, neighbor, keep fighting the good fight of faith. Come on, we're going to keep fighting this fight of faith. The Christian life was meant to be a battle. It's a battle against the kingdoms of darkness. It's a battle against the kingdoms of this world. The Christian life is meant to be a battle. It's meant to be one of work. It's meant to be one of action. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We've got to put forth the effort. We can't just expect God to do all the work, but we have to do everything we can. We've got to press forward. We've got to believe and act on our belief. It's time for action. I've come to tell somebody today, you've been praying, you've been believing, you've been expecting the miracles of God, and now I want you to start acting by faith. You've been believing that God's going to give you a Bible study with that family. I want you to act by faith and go say, hey, how does Tuesday night sound? How does Thursday morning sound? We're going to press forward in faith. I challenge some of you here today. I challenge you before, some of you ladies, that your husband is lost and he needs to be here, and we're believing and we're praying. I challenge you to put your faith into action. Next Sunday morning, I want you to get the iron out. I want you to find him a nice pair of khakis or whatever he wears, a nice dress shirt, and I want you to iron it. And I want you to set it out there and say, hey, I just thought maybe you'd like to come to church. I got your clothes ready if you'd like to come. Come on, we're going to go forward in faith. We're going to go forward in faith. I heard about two boys who were supposed to be walking to school. They got to playing along the way, and only they played so much that now they were going to be late for school. And one boy says to the other, he said, hey, let's kneel down and let's pray that God's going to get us there on time. That was a spiritual kid. The other boy says, hey, you go ahead. I'm going to start running, and I'll pray on the way. I want to tell you, sometimes we have prayed, we have believed, and then God says, it's time for action. It's time for action. It's time to go forward. Hey, did you know there's some things we don't even need to pray about? For example, people dating out of the church. And they want to pray, what's the will of God for this? I want to tell you, we don't even need to pray about that. If it's not God's will for you to date or to marry somebody out of the church, we're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. There's no better example of being unequally yoked than dating or marrying somebody that doesn't believe what you believe. We don't have to pray what God's will is about that. I'll tell you what the will of the Lord is. You need to break up and you need to get your heart right and commit your life to the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I want to talk to some of you young people. I want to talk to you, some of you thinking your time has passed and there's nobody else left out there for you. And so maybe you need to start looking out in the world for somebody that's going to love you. I want to tell you, this world will love you, but it'll love you right to hell. You need to stay in the church. If you commit your life to the Lord, I tell you, God will provide. God will provide. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Plus, it doesn't hurt to go to youth camp and youth convention or work at youth camp or youth convention. And you never know what you... Folks, God has this under control. There's some things we don't need to pray about. We don't have to pray to know if it's God's will for us to reach the lost. We don't even have to pray to know that God wants Springfield to have revival. We don't have to pray to know that God wants us to teach a Bible study. Come on. We don't even have to pray to know that God wants us to give our tithes and our offerings, to be faithful to church, to not gossip and stir up discord and trouble. Those are not things we even need to pray about. There's time for prayer, but there's time for action. And God is asking us to do what He's already commanded us to do, and that's step out in faith, step out with His plan for our lives. We need to stop putting off what we know God has already commanded us to do. Well, I'm praying about it. If you've already heard from the Lord, if God has already given you direction, if it lines up with His word, if it lines up with spiritual authority, it's time to go forward. Revival is not just something that we pray for. Now, we better pray for revival. Revival is not just something that God pours out, but God does pour it out. Yes, it takes the supernatural work of God, but we have to be involved as well. Mark chapter 16, verse 20 says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Some people don't like that going forth. They don't like getting outside of the walls of the church. They don't want to be a witness. They don't want to teach a Bible study. And they don't want to invite people to church. And they don't want to live like a Christian and treat people with kindness so that the love of Jesus shines through them. But instead, "Lord, send revival. I'm just going to sit here, Lord, and You send the revival. And God, bring in the lost. And God, just let the church just grow." I want to tell you, God's going to bring revival and God's going to bring growth and God's going to bring miracles, but He's looking for a young person. He's looking for an elder. He's looking for a young man. He's looking for a sister that's going to say, "I'm going to put my faith into action and I'm going to invite that person and I'm going to pray and I'm going to step forward in faith." God's looking for people to use. He's looking for laborers in the field, for people of faith and action. And I believe He's telling this church today, it's time to go forward. It's time to march forward to the land of promise. It's time to act with faith. Oh, come on, it's time to invite that family you've been thinking about. It's time to tell that coworker, "Hey, I want to teach you a Bible study." It's time to take that step of faith in what you've been fearful to do. Praise the Lord. I love our capital stewardship campaign theme. The mission in motion. When we were considering names, it seemed like a good one, but as we're moving forward, it really fits where we're at and where we're going. God has given us a mission to reach Southwest Missouri with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's given us a mission to grow this church. He's given us a mission to make a difference in our city and this surrounding area. And not only that, but to send ministries out of this church that will impact the surrounding towns and even as far as other countries around the world that will be blessed through the ministry of this church. We have a mission. God has given it to us. He has pressed a burden for it upon us. Prayers have been prayed about this mission. years and years of prayers, and God has brought the right people together, and God has kept the church for such a time as this. And now God is opening doors, and He is making a way. I present to us here today what we've been praying for, and we've been believing, and we've been expecting, we've been trusting in God, and now it's time to move forward. The mission, it needs to be in motion. Yes, we're believing for great miracles. We're believing for supernatural things that God is going to help do for us to complete this mission. But God's not going to do what we can do. It's only after we've done all that we can that He steps in and He does the rest. Our job is to step forward. Our job is to go forward. Our job is to advance with faith. We don't have every step all mapped out, but we can give something to the Mission in Motion this month. We don't know how it's all going to come together, but there's somebody we can invite to church right now. God's given us direction. Going to be starting another church, another campus, daughter church in Nixon, Missouri. We're thankful for that. We've told you about that. We've been having prayer meetings. We've been believing God for it. I feel like it's time to go forward. We're going to start having services when we can. We're going to start bringing people. Where are we going to have church? I don't know. We'll find a way. But Sean, Sister Courtney, we may just have it at your house for a while. It's time to go forward. Well, how is all this? How are we going to? I don't know exactly how we're going to do it all. But we know a couple of things. God's given us the direction to go. We're going to start having church. It may be once a month. It may be every other week. I don't know. There may only be two or three people there. But God's given us the direction to go. Folks, it's time to start moving. It's time to start this mission into motion. Hallelujah. Brother Todd, I believe that God is going to open up miracles in Nixon. And He already has. You don't know all about it, but He already has. But until God opens the full door for us, we're going to do what we can. We've got enough preachers around here. We've got enough musicians around here. We've got enough young people that can knock doors. We've got enough of you elders that you've got a burden for the kingdom of God that we can do something. We're starting forward. We're moving forward. It's time to see that revival that God has promised us, but it's going to take a little work. It's going to take a little elbow grease. It's going to take a little effort, but we're moving forward today. Hallelujah. I tell you, the enemy does not like forward movement. He does not like the kingdom of God advancing. He'll do everything he can to stop it with fear and doubt. He'll do everything he can to sidetrack promise or sidetrack progress with confusion and with division. He wants to get our eyes off of Jesus, to get us looking at everything but the plan of God for this church and for your life. But God's calling us to go forward. It's time for revival. It's time to answer His call. It's time for this mission to be in motion. During the last few months, I believe that the enemy has tried his best to cause the forward motion of this church to come to a standstill. I even preached on the subject a few weeks past. And when the mission stops motion. The bottom line, when the mission stops motion, souls are affected. Souls meant to be saved are lost. Lives that are meant to be free stay bound. Souls. That is our purpose. That is our mission. This church exists for others. This church exists for others. That is our purpose. That is the objective of our mission. The enemy wants us to be selfish. Well, what about me? What about my comfort? What about my desires? What about my will? But God wants it to be about His will. His desires. His plan. The cry of this church needs to be less of us. and more of you. Not our will, but thine will be done. He must increase and we must decrease. We exist to serve him and his purpose. That's our mission. That's our reason for living. Oh, if you'll heed the words of this pastor today, you've been chasing some dreams. You've been concerned about what's best for you. But if you'll put that aside, if you'll sacrifice your will and your desires and put the desires of God first, then in the end, what God has in store for you, it will be more rewarding than anything you could have ever received on your own. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I fully believe today that God's calling this church forward. And if we'll hear that call, if we'll put our thinking aside and let God lead us and guide us and step forward with faith, then this church is going to accomplish more than we ever dreamed of. Through the power of God. I want to relate something to you here today. And I believe it's important for you to know this. I believe it's the right time to tell you. I've only shared this with a select few up to this point. Several months ago, I feel that there were some spirits of hell that set their sights on this church because of the momentum and the forward motion that God was blessing us with. And those of us that serve in leadership, we have to understand leaders are going to face the battle long before others, and usually it's more intense. And I must be honest with you, at one point I had a conversation with the Lord, and I told him in prayer, I said, God, if it's not your will for us to be here as pastor, then I want your will. And if you're ready for us to move on, then Lord, lead us and direct us. It's better to pray the will of God than to pray our will. In fact, we can get into witchcraft if we're praying our will onto a situation. And there's many that have done that thing before. I'm surely not here, but I submitted my heart and my will to God and asked for his will to be done. And then again, it was there in prayer that the Lord opened my eyes in an amazing way. He opened the eyes of my heart and he showed me something very interesting. At first I saw it seemed to be a steel rod. It was about 2 feet in diameter. It was a large steel post or rod. And then it was connected to a large piece of machinery. And this it wasn't the whole machine, but it was an important part of the machine. And that steel rod was in motion. And I knew in my spirit that that rod was moving forward. And I knew that nothing was going to stop it. And it was moving forward, and anything got in its way was going to be pushed aside because it was moving. It wasn't fast, but it was moving. And I kept in a spirit of prayer, and then something flipped. And it was as if that steel rod was coming out of my heart. It was pushing forward out of my heart. It was as close to a literal vision that I've ever had. And then what was so crazy, this was crazy. In my mouth, I felt that steel rod pushing forward out of my mouth. It wasn't moving fast, but it was steadily advancing forward. And I knew something, it had to be something spiritual. So I began to ask God for direction and what the meaning of that was that I had seen. And I very, very clearly felt from the Lord that we are to advance forward. We are to have steel resolve to move forward and let God win the victory in any battles that we face, in anything that stands in the way of his will. And through preaching, the word of God is going to deal with opposition. Church, it's time to go forward. We have an important mission. God is calling us to move ahead. God is calling us to action. He's calling us to walk steadily forward by faith, realizing that we cannot do it without God's help, but God's not going to do everything for us either. We have to walk forward. Sometimes it might just be one foot in front of the other. Sometimes we might not see much more ahead than that. But that's how they made it all the way to the promised land. One foot in front of the other, walking by faith, believing God to supply their every need. Hebrews 12 and 1 tells us, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I tell you today, we're in a race. The race is not to the swift. But if we'll keep following the Lord, we'll eventually make it to victory. And we've got to get rid of the weight that's holding us back so that we can run this race. And God forbid that we be dead weight to someone else or to the church, holding others back, making it more difficult for them to run the race. Did you know it takes six men to carry one dead person? It takes six men to carry one dead person. That's why in a service, sometimes we have a ton of visitors and we're thankful for that. But if you'll notice, it's tight in the spirit. Because it takes that much more worship by the church to carry the service into the supernatural. Because there's more weight to carry. God forbid that we be dead weight. When we come into a church service, God has things He wants to do in that service. There are lives that need deliverance. There may be people there in that service that's the only chance we have to reach them. And God forbid that we be dead weight and hold back the service and sit there like a bump on a log and, well, they didn't sing the song I wanted. Well, I'm mad about something, so I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to pout, and I'm mad at the pastor, and I'm just going to stare him down while he preaches and throw a fit in the flesh, which also affects the spirit, and get to the place that we are holding back the forward movement of the church. Believe it or not, some people take pride in that. They think it's their job to stop worship. They think it's their job to stop forward motion. They think it's their job to hold the church back. But God can deal with dead weight. God can deal with dead weight. Just look at what happened later to those children of Israel who held back from crossing the Jordan into the promised land. Jesus said in John 15 and 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. God help us not to be dead weight, so that we're not bearing fruit, and he has to take us away. I tell you, it's time to move forward. It's time to bear fruit. It's time to press forward in faith. It's time to answer the call of God and put his mission into motion. And so it seems that Moses and the children of Israel are trapped. They're blocked in at every side. They're there at the edge of the Red Sea, surrounded with nowhere to go. But God says, go forward. He says, Moses, lift up your rod, stretch your hand out over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go forward on dry ground. And not only that, but I'm going to make Pharaoh and his army to follow you. And I'm going to destroy them in the very place I deliver you. What is your deliverance is also going to be your enemy's destruction. Oh, it's awesome when God takes the enemy's own trap and he turns it around and he falls into it himself. Come on, the enemy's been after some of you. The enemy's been trying to destroy your faith. The enemy's trying to hold you back. But I speak it by faith today. He's going to fall into his own trap. He's going to follow into his own destruction. And God's going to bring you through in victory. God's going to bring you through to promise.
He
Amen, amen. I just wish that this church wouldn't wait to the other side of the Red Sea to start rejoicing. But I wish that before we ever cross the Red Sea, we'd start praising God, because we know He's got this. He's going to take us through. He's going to provide. He's going to make a way. Amen, amen, amen. The enemy wanted to keep them in bondage. He wanted to get them so fearful that they would go back to Egypt. He wanted to fill them with doubt and unbelief, to destroy them from murmuring and complaining. He wanted them to stand still, but God said, go forward. I've got some wonderful things to show you. I've got incredible miracles. I've got unbelievable signs and wonders. But he couldn't do it until they crossed the Red Sea. And when they marched forward, then could deliverance from Pharaoh be theirs. And when they went forward, the water could come from the rock. And when they moved forward, the heavens could rain down manna. And when they marched on, the walls of Jericho could come down. Oh, I tell you, there were other times that they might have been supposed to stand still, but this time God said, go forward. Hey, amen. Would you stand in closing with me today? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Church, what is it that God's wanting to do that he can't do until we move forward? What is it in your family that God is wanting to accomplish, but he can't do it until you take that step of faith? What is it that he's wanting to bring into your home, into your life, into someone's life that you know, but first of all, we've got to go forward? What is it that he wants to do in this church? But as long as we're standing still, it'll never come to pass. Let's get our eyes off the enemy. Let's get our eyes off of our surroundings. Get them off of all the difficulties. And let's get our eyes on Jesus. He's the great deliverer. And let's begin to march forward. If you can only take the first step today, then take the first step. And after you've taken that first step, I believe you'll be able to see how better to take the next step. And on and on. That's walking by faith. Hey, we do what God tells us today, and then he'll show us what we're supposed to do tomorrow. That's all walking with the Lord is, through life, through ups and through downs, in the valley and on the mountaintop, one day at a time, walking with God, walking by faith, one step at a time. But we're going forward. We're going forward. Today I feel like this altar call is literally an opportunity for someone to move forward. Yes, you're going to physically have to get up out of your pew and walk to this altar. But if you'll do it by faith today, I believe you're going to be leaving the past behind. And you're going to be stepping into promise. You're going to be walking into the future that God has ordained in your life. If there's anybody here today that you feel like you've just kind of been in a holding pattern, God, I know, God, you've got great things in store. I know you want to use me. I know you've called me, Lord. I know I've got talents and abilities that you give me for a purpose to use for the kingdom of God. And it just seems like doors have been closed, and it seems like there's nowhere to go, and I don't know exactly what to do. And if it seems like you've been in a holding pattern, I believe that God wants to speak to you today. I'm about to open that door. And if you'll step forward in faith today, you're going to be stepping away from doubt and fear and unbelief, and you're going to be walking forward in faith. Come on, there's somebody, there's some already here. They couldn't wait. They had to step forward in faith. They've got to go forward. They've got to leave the past behind. They're too desperate for a miracle. They're too hungry for a revival. They're not going to stand still, not when God's calling them to go forward. Some more of you need to join in here today. I would that we would all join in. I would we would all make a declaration of faith. Come on, you're leaving the old life behind, and you're going forward today into what God has for you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on, I'm moving forward by faith. I'm moving forward by faith. I'm leaving the past behind. I'm leaving the problems behind. I'm leaving all the junk behind. And I'm stepping forward by faith. I don't know exactly where all I'm going to go, but I could take one step today, and I'm going to do it by faith, because I believe God's got this. I believe God's got this. Well, come on, would you find somebody to pray with? Would you believe God with him right now? We're taking a step of faith. We're taking a step of faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, would you pray in the Holy Ghost right now? Would you pray in the Spirit right now? In Jesus' name.